NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field. And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
Welcome into the show. Man, when you talk about Up on Game, it takes place during the segments, and it really takes place during the breaks. I mean, we
If they only knew.
Jeez. Welcome into the show. That's TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress as well. I'm LeVar Arrington. We got Iowa Sam back there. We got Bo. We got Ralphie on trending. It was a powerful first hour. If you missed any of it, make sure you go check it out on the podcast. Subscribe. Leave a comment. Put some stars on it. The numbers continue to go up, so we're very appreciative of
that. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
First hour brought us conversations about the Black National Anthem before games, NFL games. Are you in or are you out? You'll want to check that out. But let's start the top of this hour off with, and welcome into the show, by the way, if you're just now tuning in, and if you've been listening, we appreciate you listening and continuing to listen wherever it is that you are. Let's start off this hour. Got to do it. It's one of the biggest stories in sports. It's one of our comrades. It's always, you know, in some way and regard, tough to have conversations when one of your guys has gotten into this type of, what we'll say, a situation. Richard Sherman obviously was, you know, detained. And I think we all know the story by now. Apparently, there's all kinds of alleged things that have taken place. He's got, I think, five misdemeanor accounts. Ralphie, do you have more information on it? Can you set up the things? I know he's pled not guilty to what's going on. I think it's five misdemeanors or something to that effect, resisting arrest, putting workers in danger or whatever it
may
be.
You know what's crazy is the fact that they knew it was Richard Sherman and they sent a police dog out there like that. Like, that is crazy to me.
I mean,
he's no threat to you and you actually.
But do we know that he's no threat? Even though we know he's Richard Sherman. Like, the first thing that comes to mind is the dude Belcher. Y'all remember Belcher?
Right.
He killed his girlfriend and then killed himself. Like, the way. Listen, I'm going to tell you like this. Richard Sherman, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress, LeVar Arrington, I don't care. If I get a 911 call and the dispatch first, who is an a-hole that probably should never take a 911 call ever again for the 911 service.
That operator needs to be fired.
Worst, she should be brought
up on
charges.
Lose her job immediately.
But if that dispatch is saying to me, who's responding to the call, that he said he's going to fight the police or they might anything that has shoot me or anything like that, and it is the wife that has dialed 911, I'm coming in hot. I don't care that his name is Richard Sherman. I'm coming in. I'm coming in ready.
When the police arrived, he was very cordial and calm. And then when they told him he was going to be arrested.
That's when he popped off?
It kind of changed somewhat. Like, I'm calm. Everything's fine. Now I'm going to be arrested. That's when they got the police dog, because whatever transpired from there, they didn't like.
Now, but he was – I mean, let's be clear here, though. I don't know – I was not there. I did not see the interaction or whatever. But I did hear the 911 call, and I did see the video that came out on how he was trying to break down the door, which the door won. The door should have probably been arrested and got misdemeanors against Richard Sherman because it was hitting him back. Like, he wasn't – I mean, it was taking no shorts, no losses, no fear, ducking, dodging. That door was giving Richard Sherman the business, like banging him. He couldn't get in, but the things that he was saying during that time – to me, were so damning in the sense that you're talking about they're trying to calm you down. I don't know what transpired even before we got to that
point.
See,
that to me is they may say it doesn't matter, but in essence, that is your family. That is your wife's family.
Oof.
And so in turn, that's your family.
Do we want to go down that rabbit hole?
It's a sticky situation.
Do we want to go down that rabbit hole?
You would think they know you. You would think they know you. You know them. You would think.
If my wife called 911 on me, if my family members called 911 on me, I think we're done.
If my wife's family
I think we're done.
What, like,
I think
we're done. Allegedly, her family did. I'm absolutely never, ever,
and
ever,
she's in the house,
ever
Plex.
Speaking to him again. Ever.
She's in the house.
I think we got to be done.
I'm with you on
mean,
that.
What you mean, got to be?
Listen, my father-in-law, God rest his soul, he's no lying. And you know him, Plex. We've been around
that's
it.
That's my brother
let,
right there.
Let me tell you something. If it's going down, we all going down. Am I off on that one, Plex?
If I know anybody on 2 feet, Listen, I know you, and everybody's off on that one.
Yeah,
everybody going.
We all going. That's how. That's the relationship me and my father-in-law had. We all going. And if you was a part of him, like Plex and AP, when we was rolling as Giants, he was with us.
How does it get to that point?
You can't ever violate the sanctity of a relationship that is supposed to be
it will never be the same.
Hey, this is what I'm trying to compartmentalize. She called the police on him. She in the house.
And her husband outside.
And she gives a statement, and she beside him in court holding his hand, talking about, I support him. I'm confused. I'm lost.
I don't know. Listen, me and Trish have had moments. We have had moments.
Everyone has.
We have never, ever
called
the cops.
No.
Ever. And a family member never called the cops.
This is reality, what I'm about to say. He's still trying to play football. Once you do that, in essence, that's it.
Hold on.
That's
this
it.
Is what I'm trying to figure out. So the report says that Richard Sherman was running towards the policeman, and the policeman broke down in the middle of the street and tackled him. He said he used the method that he learned in the academy, and he tackled Richard Sherman in the street, and Richard looked at him and said, "Hey, man, that was a good tackle. You got me." Come on,
that's out the movie, man.
Come on, man. Hey, can you imagine how that police officer feel when he walked back in the precinct? Everybody's probably giving him high fives. Hey, man, you tackled an NFL football player.
And you took him down good. You took him down real good.
Hey, what we're teaching in the academy really works.
Yeah, here we go. You are now an instructor. All right, but let's go back to the part of it where you say, why would Richard Sherman? Because this is the bigger question here, right? We could talk about not getting it, you know, banging with the family members anymore something like that. But let's keep it real here. We can't be apologetic for what caused the panic, what caused the 911 call. But we know that he was definitely in rear form.
It was enough to get him to that point.
No doubt about it.
So what's the game? We talk about putting people up on game. What's the lesson to be learned here? What's your takeaway from, like, this is one of the most brilliant young minds that has played in the game of football. He's known for his mind and how intelligent he is and how well composed and put together in his structured thoughts and approaches. He's known for that. And so to have a moment like this that totally makes you look at him and try to figure out how does someone that is so well rooted and grounded in sensibility and seemingly common sense find himself in this type of scenario?
When I look at it, it can be like this. Was this a one-off situation to where he was so out of character that it scared everyone that was around to say, we've never seen this side of Richard. We don't know what to do. Or
is it, I'm tired of this crap.
This has happened so many times. I'm tired of this, man. Like, you got to stop this. It's one or the other. Either way.
I can't see a one time. Doing that. You call 911.
This is what I understand. This is not the first time that this has happened.
No, it can't be.
Because if it is, you calling the police the first time?
It can't be.
And listen, so from what I understand, Richard has been in like counseling and therapy because he has been suicidal in the past. Like 4 or 5 months ago, he had an incident like this. And, you know, some of these things happen, you know, in people's households, which they keep quiet. But he's been in therapy and he's been suicidal. So this is not the first time that has happened. You know, I don't like to get involved in people's households and their family because, people go through things.
We all have problems.
Yeah, that aren't being discussed, that are kept within the house.
I hit a guardrail.
Hey, but from a but from a mental health standpoint and for Richard, like, you know, he needs to get help. And he has admitted that. Mm-hmm. And his wife has came out and said, listen, this is not the first time it has happened. He's been in therapy.
So is it more justifiable, Plex? Is it more justifiable to say that you could talk to your wife after something like this because maybe she really thought the man was about to off himself? I mean, in the call, I think, or he said, she said he sent text messages that he was going to kill himself or he was going to hang himself or some stuff like that.
But, LaVar, we're talking about from a mental standpoint. We don't know what state he is in.
Right.
We don't understand that
You know what it is, though? Because of everything LaVar said earlier, he went to Stanford. He's a very smart man. He's carried himself in a way that when you would hear something like, huh, Richard Sherman did that?
It raises the stakes so high.
And on top of that, the judge that eventually granted him bail
said
that, listen, Richard Sherman has been a pillar in our community.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about the football player. We're talking about the man, the person, what he has meant to the city of Seattle, you know, entrepreneurship, charity, giving back. He's been a pillar in our community. He's not looked upon differently because of one bad incident. You know, he's been a great man on the field and off the field, and he's been a great person, you know, all of his life for 30-some years. Let's not condemn him for having one bad incident.
All right, but let me hit you with this one, though, Plex. Some of the most respected pillars in the community that I grew up in Pittsburgh, were drug dealers. They were the D-boys. You dig what I'm saying?
That's a whole different.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that if you're in the community, like outside of what your other things that you do, it might be football, it might be something else, but outside of that, the things that you do in the community that you show you care, like, to me, it doesn't justify the actions.
I'm not saying it does.
Okay, so I'm just saying, so what I'm saying is,
you're comparing him to a drug dealer versus somebody who is in the community changing lives of kids.
But they do that. But D-boys do that a lot too. So what I'm saying is
in what positive way?
They do it in a lot of positive ways. Like they sponsor basketball teams, they sponsor football teams, they take care.
I understand what you're saying.
You see, what I'm saying is that just because you are a positive pillar in the community doesn't mean that there aren't other aspects of who you are that are jacked up. And to me, it goes without saying, to see what you saw on the video calls into question the legitimacy of all that talk. It's like there's this other side. And listen, I don't want to get into what people's dark sides are, because everybody has their demons that they gotta that they gotta address and get them out of their closet or not. I don't know. But when I saw the way he was hitting the door and I saw the way he was reacting, the first thing I thought about is, this is a dude throwing a temper tantrum that's used to getting everything he wants. He's used to hearing what that judge said to him. He's used to the situation being diffused and people protecting him because of the very thing that you're saying. So it's almost like a justified behavior that's taking place that's never been checked. And then it makes you wonder, was it so bad this time?
To the judge,
was it so bad this time that you had to hit 911?
Does is, from what I've seen, you've been a pillar in a community from what they perceive as a pillar in a community.
Correct.
There are a lot of pillars in the community.
That's the point I was trying to make.
Not getting recognized because, you know what? They don't play in the NFL.
Right.
Correct. Either way, right? And they could be a pillar that is just an official 100% pillar in the community. Nothing connected to it. I gave an extreme example, but what I'm saying is that regardless – whether you're getting acknowledged for that or not, in this scenario, for him to be the man that he is and has been representation of such excellence in this moment, when you're watching that video or you're hearing the way that his wife is speaking on him on 911, that to me calls into question how I'm viewing him. How do I view this
dude? Of course.
What happens if he gets on the other side of the door? Because they said he had the other dude, the uncle, had pepper spray and a strap. So what happens if he does get inside the house? What type of a story, what type of a report are we doing today if the door does happen to lose?
When you see that, it's some disconnect in that family with his in-laws, let me say that.
And his kids is on the other side of the door.
The fact that you have to do all of that, you are fearful. And for you to be fearful of somebody that's married,
that you know,
that's a huge problem.
That's a red flag.
To me, that's more of a red flag than anything. The fact that he felt like, I need to arm myself because I've seen this one too many times and this is it. It ain't happening no more. That's what that tells me.
When you got a firearm in that situation, that is what it is, man. There's no way around that one. Okay, we're going to jump. We're going to get out of this one. Kenyon Drake
That music threw me off, so crucial. He had to mellow us down real quick.
Yeah, Lee. All right, so Kenyon Drake of the Las Vegas Raiders. Space Jam he's giving new meaning to Space Jam, and we're going to touch on that and talk about that after this break. You're listening to Up On Game. That's TJ Hushmanzada. That's Plexico Burress, and that was Iowa Sam, who stumped me just now before we went to break.
Hey, this
Thank
is a song they play in the club, and they start turning on the lights like, get out.
Oh, Days of Our Lives.
It's time to go, beyond.
That joint came from Days of Our Lives, I believe. So, shots out to Days of Our Lives. This is Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. I got a little bit... I got a little bit of... turned up in here
today.
All right, okay. Welcome back to Up On Game. It's TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burress, and well, I round out the trio with being LeVar Arrington. All right. Speaking of spaceship cars, you know, Beamers and Benzes.
Sam, you're gonna go make me download
teaching people how
quite
to stunt
a few songs a day.
It's playlist
that I don't even have downloaded.
Man, get your playlist game up, TJ.
Hey, Plex, no lie, man. I really don't even know what to listen to. My kids, I hear them playing some music. I'm like, who's that? Oh, let me go download it. That's how I get it. That's it.
Anyway, whatever. TJ be listening to music. We've vacationed before. Our playlist selection is actually pretty solid. Well, I'm generally just sitting there being a fat slob while they do all the other stuff. But anyway, that goes without saying. I almost got drowned. You remember when Trish tried to drown me? She pushed me in with my phone and everything in my pants pocket. Yeah, man, pushed me right on in. And it was like a battle of wills because it's like she's a big woman. Not big as in like overweight, but like she's got bigger legs.
She's got bigger
legs than I do, and she used them. She leveraged me into the pool and then tried to like do a LeVar leap on my head, and I knew if she landed the leap on my head, I was going to drown. I saw my life literally flashing
in front of me. In Palm Springs, Plex. She threw LeVar in the pool.
And I did not want to go. Like,
get in the pool.
I did not want to go in the pool.
She threw him in there.
I used my strength, so I thought, to keep myself from going into the pool.
She threw him in there.
I've seen her workout. Yeah. I've seen her workout, so I know how powerful she can be.
She overpowered me into the pool, and I knew if she landed on my head, I was going to drown. Like, now think about that. That sounds bad as well.
Like,
I was about to say, maybe I needed to call for help. And I needed backup.
You ain't had no phone.
I was done. I was done. Well, there you go. Hey, come bury LeVar. You know, make sure LeVar is okay. Kenyon Drake of the Raiders. He's a running back. You may know who he is. Had a couple good runs.
Right.
He was nice for the Cardinals last year. I will give him
that. He had a couple good runs. We have some sound from Kenyon Drake. You'll be interested to hear. And I want to open this up to our callers. Space. Going to space. Kenyon Drake, he's into it.
What's your latest as far as space goes and space travel? Are you going to space, Kenyon Drake?
Yeah, man. I would love to. I know who for sure is going to space, and that's his offense this year, his team. I feel like we're definitely taking off to another trajectory. You know what I mean? You know, I kind of threw that in there.
I like that.
Now, Kenyon Drake really is into space travel. So even though he used the whole referencing the offense is going to space this year as almost like metaphorically speaking, he really wants to go to space. So it made me wonder, and I want to throw this one out to all the callers, 877-996-6369, and I want to first hear from you guys. First off, would you actually be interested if you could take a trip to outer space? That's one. But for those who I know are going to say, hell no, ain't a chance that I'd ever do it, this, that, and the other, let me pose the question this way. We hear about global warming. We hear about the Earth maybe not lasting but so many years or whatever moving into the future. Let's just say hypothetically you need it to go to a different planet. Would you take the trip, or would you take the physical challenge of trying to survive the last days here on Earth? Would you go to space and find a different place to stay?
TJ will not and is not ever interested in going to space at all. You couldn't pay me to go to space, let alone me pay to go to space.
What if real estate was cheap?
The global warming thing, if it was to really come to an end and I was on this earth and I knew people that had visited another planet and they come back and say, because they're coming to get their family members, oh man, it ain't bad up, you know, and so, you know, bring some pictures with you. Let me see what you're talking about.
Bring some pictures!
But going to space? Nah, man. Like, I don't even want to go on vacation half the time.
Hey, do they have cell phone towers on Saturn?
Right. I don't even. My wife, if she listening, I don't want to go nowhere in space. Damn sure is it somewhere that I would consider. So absolutely not. TJ chilling.
Man, listen. An airplane is high as I'm going. That's it. I ain't going no higher than that. And I don't even like to do that. So, space, what's that? Man, Earth is bad enough. And it's supposed to be the best planet. I can't imagine what Venus is like.
I ain't doing it.
I grew up in the hood. Earth is bad as it gets. I can't imagine it being no worse than this.
Hey, maybe they are living on other planets and they're looking at us. Like, who knows? I don't want to find out.
Listen, if they say the whole planet of Pluto is Beverly Hills, would you go?
See, here's my thing. I would be curious to go.
Of course you would.
I would be very curious, especially if it meant that we could survive as humankind. But hold on. I would be scared to death of, again, what can I do, what I cannot do, right? Like, if I go outside, like, okay, I see that's a bear. I know that's a bear. I know what I need to do. Mm-mm. There would be so much that you're uneducated.
What's harmful and what
right?
is it?
Like, oh, that's just a little bug. But if that bug hits you, you die. Like, you know, there would be so many things that I would be so afraid of in terms of, all right, it's like it's livable and it makes sense.
Do you need to go up there and get your immunization shots
What vaccinations apply up here? You
before you go anywhere, you got to figure out the food situation.
Like, I mean, what are we looking at? Yeah, what are we eating? How do I prepare it? You know what I mean?
Like, we had Taco Tuesday. What's going on? What are we doing? What are we eating?
Ralphie, let's get a trending, bro. Let's get a trending.
You sure you can handle that?
Yeah, let's try, man.
Okay. Well, we had a three-way lead at the top of the Open Championship leaderboard, but now it is broken back up. Round three in progress, and Louis Oosthuizen back alone at the top of the leaderboard, 12 under par through 16 holes. He's one under on the day. He's one shot ahead of Colin Morikawa, who he's playing alongside. Morikawa, 11 under par for the tournament, also through 16, two under for the championship. And two shots back now is Jordan Spieth, who is sitting at 10 under par, a bogey on number 17, dropping him out of that minus 11 position. He's two under on the day. The clubhouse leader, Corey Connors, 8 under par. He shot 4 under on the day. And again, he is currently sitting in the clubhouse. One Major League Baseball game going on as Minnesota playing at Detroit. The Tigers with that first inning home run, and that's held up a 1-0 lead into the fifth inning. It's the first of a doubleheader, so they're only playing 7 innings in this contest, and they are going to be playing game 5 of the NBA Finals. Phoenix hosting Milwaukee. That's at 9 o'clock Eastern time. The series tied at 2 games apiece. But for now, we send it back to the angry, jovial, back and forth, all the emotions
on,
wrapped up
me.
Into one.
Give it to me.
It is.
Give it to me.
Hop on game.
That's a winner.
Ding, I love ding, it.
Ding, that ding, is 100% a winner. All right, so we're back. Space travel. Would you go, Bo? Who we got, man?
All right, we got Mike in Pennsylvania here.
What's up, Mike?
Gentlemen, love the show.
Thanks, man.
And I'm a diehard Penn Stater, LeVar.
We are.
Penn State.
Carry on. Come on, Mike. Let's go.
Carry on, Mike.
Hey, do it one more time. Hey. Do it one more time, Sam.
We are.
Yeah.
Penn State.
Do it one more time, Sam. Yeah.
No.
Hey, Sammy.
No.
Sammy, one more time, Sam. Yeah.
No.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Okay, come on, Mike. Give me what you got. What you got?
Oh, man.
Are you going to space? We just went to space.
No way. There is not a chance. You can watch the stuff on the internet now. You can get the views. You can get the experience.
Right.
You can watch it all.
Right from
and
your
I
couch.
I can watch it all sitting on my couch in the comfort of my home. There is absolutely 100% no way for any amount of money that you could get me in one of those rocket ships. No.
Well, we
God
appreciate
bless Kenyon Drake. Let him have my seat.
All right. We appreciate it. Good call, Mike. Who else we got, Bo?
All right. We got Derek in Indiana right now.
All right. Let's go to Derek. Derek, what you got, man?
I mean, if they could somehow make it to where it was instant where I was going, whether it be
like we beam me up,
travel
Scotty.
At the speed of light, or okay. if I get frozen, like just go to sleep.
Ah, he's sci-fi.
Like, hey, like click your heels three times, Wizard of Oz.
Right.
There's no place like home.
The thought of going somewhere doesn't really.
There's no place like home.
Instantly. Yeah, you know, something like that, as opposed to like, because I can't even drive to the other side of town before I'm tired of, you know, driving, sitting in a car that long, let alone going on a 10-year space trip. But real quick before I go, LeVar, you was talking about Voltron earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, I hate to do this, fellas, but, like, there's only one of y'all that can be the headpiece, and that'd be Plaxico, man. So, like, I hate to call
there
it
we
rich,
go.
You know what I'm saying?
There we go.
Hey, look, bro, like, every body part matters, you know what I mean?
Optimus
yeah, but the
Prime.
Headpiece is the most important, man. Plex, do your thing.
Well,
that's what I'm talking
I like
about.
That.
Optimus Prime. That's
personal,
what I'm talking about.
Personally, I'd rather be the midsection of Voltron. Just me speaking. All right, anyways, TJ, what would you be? The foot? The hand? I mean, the shoulder? What elbow? What would you be?
I could care less. I'm the brain.
You the brain?
I'm the brain.
It's Plexico and the brain.
Hey, do y'all know, like, as far as going to space, it's like 1 hour in space is equivalent to, like, 7 years on Earth. Mm. Do y'all know that?
Man,
I'm not going to go down that road because
that's crazy.
It's totally out of my
people
wheelhouse.
Are paying to go to space. Like they're paying for this. Like, no
so
way.
How does that even work? The minute you leave the stratosphere of Earth, you've traveled. Now you're now moving in time, like in light years. Yeah, like how does that work?
Like these astronauts and everybody that go to space, you know, when they come back, man, they gotta like
reacclimate yourself.
They're aged like 20 years when they come back, huh?
Like your bones degenerate, all kind of.
Well,
crazy
it's because there's they atrophy because there's no, you know, what is that called? Gravity.
You sounded like yeah. I graduated from MIT. Look at me.
There's no gravity. You're so stupid.
The internet is wonderful, man.
It is. Listen, I'm staying here, man.
Plexico didn't watch the movie the other week that probably gave him this information, man. What was you watching? Armageddon? Where was you at? You was in your archives? What
man,
you got?
I touched down in Silicon Valley out there now and then, out there in Google.
Gosh.
But
I do
it from the comfort of my own home.
All right. Well, speaking of gravity, guys, Tom Brady, he's defying gravity. It's now come out reports that he played the 2020 season on a torn MCL. What does this mean to his legend to you guys? Like, is this significant or is it much of nothing?
If it's true, you know, I don't believe it was torn, you know, week one. You know, it is possible to play the quarterback position with a torn MCL. You know, he's had his knee brace on forever.
That big, heavy, bionic knee brace.
Yeah, and he's not a mobile quarterback, so to speak. You know, he's a, you know, shuffle his feet in a pocket type of guy, you know, get out of the way of a rush and different things like that. So he is one of those quarterbacks that can play with a torn MCL because of his playing style. I mean, he's not one of those guys that's going to be running up and down the field. And listen, when you protect Tom Brady, he's the greatest quarterback to ever live. When he gets out of the pocket and all those kind of things, you know, you start to see what kind of athlete this guy really is when he starts to move.
Yeah, he's not an athlete.
Right. So he can play the quarterback position with a torn MCL.
Yeah, athleticism is not his game. His game is beating you with his brain and his arm. And then you add into the fact that he has Alex Guerrero with him year-round, 24 hours a day, working on him before or after practice, before you go to bed, when you wake up. So you're getting round-the-clock treatment on something that needs it, and your game isn't that. 100%, you give him kudos for it, but if this was Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes where mobility is part of their game, you say, wow, how did they do this?
Right.
But it's not possible.
But with Brady, him doing it, and you know, because I know Alex Guerrero, he's getting worked on constantly. He was able to manage it, and they got it done. But you give him props, but it's not as if he's using his legs, you know, to win games.
See, I'm against both of you guys on this. I think that there's there's so much that he has accomplished at this point that is already outside of the realm of comprehension, that anything else that you continue to add to it only becomes a bigger story within the growth of his legend. And here's the thing about it. He's probably the only winner in our, like, what we have going on right now in recent sports history. He's probably the only winner outside of maybe LeBron that you've gotten an inside look. You've gotten an opportunity to get to know Tom Brady. You've gotten an opportunity to now engage in what his personality is, what his personal life is.
Well, I don't agree with that at all.
Why not?
Because we didn't know, you know, he was a jokester and a prankster that, and all which, these well, things
now,
in New
now
England.
We're learning it.
But
right.
Now that he's in Tampa Bay,
right?
You know, he's been, you know, more outspoken. Now he's getting on Twitter. And
I think that's the point. But I think that's the point of right now is that that has been introduced. Like, otherwise, if we—
Yeah, 20 years later.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, it at least happened. Like, for us with Michael Jordan, how many years later? How many years did it take for The Last Dance to come out? Because we didn't know Michael Jordan before The Last Dance. I don't know that we know him that well after The Last Dance, but it gave us some type of look into him. We didn't know about him. You know what I mean? Like,
I think we did.
No.
Michael Jordan?
No, not on an intimate level. God. You don't know about him on an intimate level. Like,
no, you can save the intimacy part. I don't get into that.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Stop it.
Touch him.
Get some help.
Pray for him. Touch Plexico's mind, Jesus. I'm not talking about that type of intimacy. I'm talking about, you know, how he hangs out with his family, like places he likes to go to eat or things that he does in his workouts and stuff. We never learned those things about MJ. We only learned that about LeBron and Tom Brady of that stature and of that level. We ain't learned that about Joe Montana or anything like that, Wayne Gretzky, you know, Mario Lemieux. We didn't learn that stuff about them. So I'm appreciative of it, and I think that the dude is a dope dude, and I think playing on a wounded MCL is actually going to add to the legend and allure of one Tom Brady. Yeah, that's just one man's opinion. Yeah, you know, okay, well,
it's painful.
You ain't as much of a winner as Tom Brady is. And I'm sorry to say that.
Listen, I will say this. I sprained my MCL Monday before the Super Bowl. I had a grade 3 MCL, which is a 4 to 6 week injury. And I played on it in 4 days.
And caught the winning pass that gave Tom Brady one of them L's.
And it's painful.
I hear you. That's Plexico Burns, TJ Hushmanzada. I'm LeVar Arrington. We're going to come back and wrap things up, man. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio, Up on Game.
I have no knowledge of anything.
All right. Well, uh-huh. You were wondering why I did that. If you're listening to the podcast, it was because they had Kanye West getting funky with it on. Sam has been on fire. If you've been listening to the show, it's been a great show. If you missed anything, we talked about the Black National Anthem before NFL games. We touched on Kenyon Drake and him, well, wanting to go to space. We've also touched on Richard Sherman and Tom Brady. If you missed any of those things, make sure you go to the podcast, subscribe, rate, review. We love all of those things. We appreciate your continued support. Up on Game. It's the real deal. Guys, before we get up out of here, I know we didn't have a long, drawn-out conversation, but at this point, it's just all game at right now. The relevancy of the NBA Finals is
tonight.
You got to win. You got to win. And obviously, both teams have protected home. So now we're at a 2-2 series. The Milwaukee Bucks put two together. The Phoenix Suns put two wins together. They're at two each now back in Phoenix. What needs to happen? What are you predicting? I know you're still staying bold and strong on your prediction, Stretch Armstrong.
And you know this, man.
What you got?
Look here, man. My Milwaukee Bucks are looking pretty good. But you know what? All the pressure is on the Phoenix Suns this evening. They have to win this basketball game. It's a must-win game for them because they're saying to ourselves, we have to win this game. We cannot go down 3-2 and return to Milwaukee. And for Chris Paul and the adjustments that the Milwaukee Bucks made on him last game, I thought was fantastic. They are not following him on the pick and roll. Make Chris Paul beat you. Make him beat you. Devin's going to get his 40. But tonight, all the pressure's on them. They got to win this game. And if the Milwaukee Bucks win this game tonight, Chris Paul will not win a world championship.
Chris Paul can't play the way he played in game four.
Too many turnovers.
Which I doubt he would. Now, the game was there for the taking. Giannis made some really good plays down the stretch. Chris Middleton has shown us in these playoffs. He's shown us. I can be really good, or you won't even notice I'm on the court.
Feast of
famine. And so I'm going to say we're going to have a famine that night tonight with Chris Middleton. The Suns have – this series is really
– too much pressure.
It's evenly matched. If they can limit – it's the free throws to me. If they can limit Milwaukee getting as many free throw attempts that they get – the Phoenix Suns should win this game because there's no way they had that game won. Chris Paul just didn't play well. He's not going to play that bad again.
Giannis shoot almost 80%, which is ridiculous.
I mean, when you in the paint all game, you should.
You know, they were leading the game late in the game, going into the fourth quarter. They allowed for the lead to get away from them. Speaking of the Phoenix Suns. Chris Middleton, I said this when the series began, Chris Middleton was going to have to be the facilitator of the offense. The offense was going to have to go through Chris Middleton. We saw that take place in this last game. I wonder, can he be consistent? He has been inconsistent in how he has played. I don't have a ton of confidence that he's going to be any different than what he has been. I think that that's going to be the deciding factor is how Chris Middleton plays. If he shows up, the Bucks are going to be too much for the Phoenix Suns. If he doesn't show up, the Phoenix Suns are going to have enough of what they need to be able to win this game tonight. And that's and honestly speaking, I think for the series, if Chris Middleton shows up, the Bucks are a better team. If not, yeah, look at the Phoenix Suns and Chris Paul.
And can the referees please call a foul?
Yeah, you heard that. Hey, refs.
Come on, refs.
If you're listening, don't ever come back.
Hey,
ref the game.
Milwaukee getting all the free throws, and you talking about call a foul. Wow.
You're
they getting all the free throws.
Yeah, they just heard.
Hey, just look at the stats.
Put your Laker jersey on and watch the game.
Hey,
this was up on game.
Look at the stats,
Harmon's coming up next. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Peace.
Up on games. Subscribe. We're out.